now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
What's up, everybody? This is Trey Biddy with Hog Sports, exiting the north end zone of Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium following a 30-20 win for the red team in the red-white game. Well, it went kind of like we thought it would go with the red team defense, I think, you know, overall outdoing the white team offense. But it didn't start like that, did it? I mean, K.J. Jefferson came out, hit two big pass plays. I think it was 33 yards to Traylon Burks against Jalen Catalon, of all people, and then Simeon Blair got beat by Mike Woods. I think it was like 31-yard touchdown pass. But KJ, I thought, played pretty well overall and has continued to show that he can really throw the deep ball. I love what people are saying about KJ right now, like his teammates and stuff, just about his leadership, you know, taking ownership of the team. He's got a little message for everybody every single day, just putting in all the extra work. That's what you want to see out of the quarterback. And, you know, I saw him the other day, really the first time we've gotten up close with the quarterbacks, because we have to stay at like one spot at practice, and you know the quarterbacks will be way over on the other side, you know, except for when they're in team and stuff. But you know, just seeing KJ like up close for the first time in a long time the other day, he looks like he's like 250 pounds or more, and to be able to move like he does is pretty impressive. So I think a good spring overall for KJ. I mean, it's a position at quarterback, you never really know what you've got, and the thing that I'm going to say here that, you know, I think that we miss a little bit in the spring with, you know, not just KJ, but also Malik Hornsby, is what happens with the run, you know, because this is a heavy RPO team moving forward. And when you've got a quarterback that can run the ball and you can design running plays, which you don't do in the spring because they're off limits, they're no contact, you know, how much is that going to impact a defense in terms of like really just keeping them honest? And I always think, like with a guy like Hornsby, you know, he has that kind of like Nick Marshall speed, if you guys remember him from Auburn, led them all the way to the national championship game. But he can really, really run and is explosive. And, you know, KJ can run too. He's just a little more like bull over you, you know, kind of a long strider type. But like, how much of an impact is that going to have with Arkansas's offense when you have the fear of those quarterbacks running? And, you know, that's something that we've talked about for years and years, really since about 2004, because Arkansas hasn't had a dual threat type of quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays in. Jefferson was 6 of 11 for 153 yards and two touchdowns. I'm going to kind of wipe out that 46-yarder he had to Knox because I felt like he got touched, which they have touch sacks, right? And he also, there was a 27-yard run he had where he also got touched. Now, he probably would have gotten away from both of those in a game, but the rules are the rules. I didn't see Malik Hornsby getting that kind of treatment. He had a 70-yard bomb to Jaquelin Crawford that was wiped out because he was touched a little bit, and I think he probably would have gotten away from that. But Hornsby was 11 of 18 for 144 yards and a touchdown. Not a bad day for him. I thought he was probably the most accurate that he's been. However, his first three or four incomplete passes, he was like 4-7, I think, early on. I think three of those all could and maybe should have been intercepted. So maybe that was a product of he's used to being in a white jersey, throwing to, you know, receivers in a white jersey. And I guess it was, you know, he was in red today, so maybe that was part of it. I just wrote down a few things that stood out to me. I thought that there was a big difference in with the lineups in the first team defensive line versus the second team defensive line, because it wasn't just entirely, you know, it wasn't like really the first team defensive line. It was really, you know, the top several defensive tackles, the top probably four defensive ends, and probably would have been the top five defensive ends, but Deshaud Stewart wasn't able to go today because of injury, and there were some players out. So this person's coming. You gonna stop? Okay. So I felt like that was probably a big reason that the running game was going so much better for the second team offense, even though probably three of the top four running backs were with the first unit, you know. So that was a big thing. I mean, like, first of all, let's talk about the defensive line. I really think that they have made really good strides, and I like seeing Eric Gregory because they ran the four-man front the whole time this game. It's kind of weird, like in practice, they like It's like we're either going to run a three-man front all day or we're going to run a four-man front all day. And then for this, aside from some, you know, short yardage stuff, they ran a four-man front the entire practice or the entire game and had Eric Gregory lined up as one of the defensive tackles. Now, Gregory goes about 300 pounds as a defensive end. I actually like him there. You know, he provides a lot of quickness. I think they've got a good bit of depth at defensive end with Dorian Gerald, Matteo Soli, Zach Williams really coming on. This is a guy that was pretty skinny overall when he got to Arkansas and kind of skinny last year too. And he's up to 264 now, plans to get to about 275. And let me tell you, it's all rock solid. I mean, they were out there the other day without pads on. You know, he had his sleeves rolled up, and you can just see that he is really filled out from a muscularity standpoint. I think that's true with a lot of guys on this team. You know, we talked about the offensive line, just to flip it to the other side real quick. This is an offensive line that not even 2 years ago was averaging 291 per man across the front with the starters. Now, suddenly, less than 2 years later, I mean, we haven't got to the next season yet, and they're about 319 per man. I mean, that's a 28-pound per man difference. That's a lot of weight in just a short amount of time. And some of it's the same guys. I mean, you got Myron Cunningham, who's, you know, pushing 330 or so right now. He was at 290, I think, when he first arrived and was a starter for like 10 games in 2019. So a lot bigger up front on the offensive line. But I do think that was a big difference, you know, in this particular game, just the overall talent of the first team defensive line versus the second team defensive line. And again, not really the second team defensive line because it was several of the first team guys and backups with the first group. So, yeah, linebackers, I mean, you always wonder about depth, but, you know, Hayden Henry wasn't playing today. I worry more about linebacker for like 2022 versus 2021. I think they're going to be okay if they can stay healthy. And then, you know, you flip it back to the secondary, and you've got some real studs, like some genuine, and it's from recruiting. I mean, and you can credit the previous staff and the current staff for some of the jobs that they've done recruiting in the secondary. But, you know, Monteric Brown, Jalen Catalon, I mean, you know the regular names, but you've got some younger guys coming up like Miles Slusher, who was playing a good bit of cornerback today. I mean, so you had Gregory playing defensive tackle from defensive end, Miles Slusher, who's a safety playing cornerback, and he can play there. Let me tell you, he's got some real speed to play there. And you got another guy in that same 2020 class who came in at safety, and Nick Turner, who's been running cornerback all spring. So I think those are, you know, that's a positive move, you know, for Nick Turner. I think Slusher is a guy that you could see just kind of line up all over the place, kind of like Catalon does in a lot of ways. So some things to be encouraged about with that secondary. And especially, like, if they can get to the quarterback on the defensive line, then that would change everything. I mean, that would make them just that much better. What else we want to talk about today? Dominic Sanders ran the ball well. Again, a little bit of a product of, you know, there being a bigger discrepancy between the second team offensive line and really what was, you know, kind of the third, fourth bunch of guys on the defensive line. But Dominic Johnson's a guy that I was thinking, maybe give this guy a look at running, or excuse me, give this guy a look at linebacker. But I think that he has proven that he belongs at running back. He's a bigger guy, 240 pounds. But he had, you know, he slipped a, I was talking about Slusher a minute ago. Well, he spun right off Slusher and went for like 22 yards. He had another nice stiff arm. I mean, he's run the ball really, and not just this game, but really all spring. And, you know, Raheem Sanders, I think, is a guy that maybe just needs some more reps. You know, we see him getting confused sometimes. You know, at the mesh point, there's, you know, some bobbles and some fumbles that are caused. So, you know, I think that maybe he's a little bit farther away in terms of just getting totally comfortable at running back because he hasn't been there. But he's a guy to get excited about. 6'2", 220-pound guy that can really sprint. You got A.J. Green coming in also at running back. So it'll be interesting to see how that position develops because really your older guys, your more experienced guys, are, you know, more speedy, a little bit more undersized type players at running back. So we'll see how that position evolves. I think Trey Knox at wide receiver has had a really good spring. And, you know, he'll get guys back too, like Devion Warren wasn't out there all spring. Tyson Morris didn't play in this red-white game. You know, two reliable wide receivers. But we know what Arkansas has in Treylon Burks and Mike Woods, who came out early in this game and really showed out. So
But Trey Knox, you know, he's a guy that, you know, based on what everybody's told me, put in a lot of extra work. Maybe he was dealing with some stuff last year on a personal level also that maybe we didn't, you know, think about or know about, but definitely didn't have the sophomore season that we expected out of him. But he started today, had a couple of good catches. One of them, again, I don't know if it would count, but he did make the catch. It was a jump ball, 42-yarder, where I thought KJ was probably sacked. But, yeah, a nice overall day. It was a little colder than you expected. But I've got gloves on because it's so cold. I actually left the press box earlier. I'm going to go home and ride all the stuff just because it was getting really cold up there. So, and when your hands get kind of cold, they get your knuckles get slow to type. So, anyway, anything else I want to say? John David White, 5 catches for 87 yards and a touchdown. Nice job, John David. I think that's pretty much everything I want to cover. You know, special teams, I guess we got to touch on special teams. They did okay today. Thought there were some pretty decent punts. There was a kickoff out of bounds. There was 12 men on the field at one point on the defense that was declined. But other than that, pretty good day overall for the special teams. And I think it was important for them to put all that extra effort into it today, which they did. And or not just today, but, you know, throughout the whole spring. I'm starting to get a little cold. I mean, it's not that cold. It's like 52 degrees, and I'm acting like it's frigid out here. But it's 52 degrees and overcast. But I am starting to get really cold. My face is starting to, what is it? 51 and overcast right now. Anyway, I think that pretty much does it for the spring. Now, it's kind of crazy because the sports cluster has kind of subsided. You know, it's that time that we just got through with where, you know, baseball starting up, basketball's in March Madness, spring football. Usually, you know, recruiting is really picking up right now, but that's going to be pushed off until June. For the most part, I mean, they had some visitors and stuff here today. You can read about that on Hog Sports, but this is the sports cluster, and it's all kind of slowly dropping off, isn't it? And now it's just baseball. Recapping spring football, moving on to baseball, and then looking forward to recruiting this summer. Finally, players are going to be able to start visiting campuses and stuff like that. So look forward to Hog Sports and Danny West coverage of all the recruiting stuff. Of course, baseball going on right now, playing Texas A&M. That's been a slaughter. But, yeah, wrapping it up. All right, everybody. I guess I'll be back with you guys on Monday for a little Hog Sports Live, so tune into that. And we'll wrap up this walk and talk now. Appreciate you, everybody. Thanks for joining me. This has been Trey Biddy with HogSports.com, and we'll catch you next time.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.